Okay, before we do anything, Henry.
Yeah.
We're recording this as live, okay? I'm not going to as do live, too much editing.
We don't want to do too much editing, do we?
What, you say we?
Ye.
Yeah.
You don't want to do much editing, do you?
So it's going to be like basic editing, like only stuff that would be illegal for us to broadcast.
Okay. So like so what does that... Does that mean everything has to be gold?
Basically.
Yeah. Fine.
We're back.
We're back.
It's the podcast nobody wanted.
it's a podcast you didn't know you didn't want.
It turns out you really didn't want it.
Turns out you really didn't. It's film corner number two. So we've currently got two corners.
Yeah.
So in a spatial sense.
Oh yeah, it's still not a shape, is it?
We're not a shape. We're not a shape yet, but we're on our way potentially becoming a triangle, potentially a square, or even a cube.
I certainly aspire to some sort of oblong.
Some sort of oblong. Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Mike is not here again.
Mike isn't here again.
You sound annoyed about that. It's not. I mean, it's not really. He's busy doing work. Good work.
He's busy doing work and having a family and stuff.
And it's a shame in a way that Mike isn't here, because I feel like film one that we're going to talk about is right up Mike's alley.
Which one are we talking about first?
Well, think about which one's right up Mike's alley.
The Beekeeper. Yeah. So up his alley.
Some things to get out of the way. Number one, I think this might end up containing spoilers.
Yeah, it's going to be full of spoilers. I think it's worth saying.
Yeah.
I think this format, the film corner format, is a spoiler. It's a spoiler heavy.
It's the first sort of spoiler filled review podcast.
And we're upfront about that. And if you can't handle it, get out of the corner.
Now, when we spoke last week, I can't remember what the circumstances are. And no, I do remember the circumstances. We went for a drink in London's Southwark area.
Yeah.
You and I.
That's right.
I was on my way to see Guys and Dolls at the theatre, having a very metropolitan evening.
We don't talk about musicals on this show, though, isn't it? It's Film Corner, so unfortunately we can't discuss that.
So I won't talk about that any further. But you started making big noises about format points.
I did, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, what does Film Corner need? It's got a great name. That's established.
Yeah.
A corner, from a geometrical point of view, is where three lines intersect. We've got three lines. We've got Henry. We've got Ben.
The absent ghost of Mike.
The absent ghost of Meist. Those three forces intersect at the corner. Corners are where dodgy things happen, aren't they?
You can be cornered in a corner.
You can be cornered in a corner, potentially by two boars.
Yeah.
But, for example. But also, you can use the corner in snooker. Can you? No, you can't. There's a pocket,
isn't there?
You can't use the corner in... And snooker.
Well, could you park a colour in front of the pocket and then...
You could cover
make
the
it
pocket.
Harder to get a red in there?
Yeah. So it's got a tactical use in the game of snooker. It's just got a lot of resonance, hasn't it, the idea of corners. The dunce might be sent to the corner in the old days. Obviously, we don't call them that anymore.
Well, it depends how seasoned a dunce they are. If they're a seasoned dunce, they might just go to the corner of their own accord.
Instantly, yeah, they might just start off at the corner.
Well, they know they're going to be sent there.
Yeah, and they'll have their own pointy hat, which they bring with them from home.
Which they've done an absolutely terrible job of making.
An absolutely terrible job. It's barely pointy at all. So, yeah, we've got the title. We need format points. That's what I was contending, wasn't it, the other day?
Well, do you want to introduce your format points? I've not had any ideas for format points, really.
Well, my format points were whether we should break down a film in terms of script, acting, costume...
Okay, I see.
And plemtential, which is where we discuss which, if any, of the roles would be improved if they'd been played by Jesse Plemons.
Okay. I'm thinking that the plemtential category, which I think is a very good one.
Strong, isn't it? Yeah.
Might end up, I mean, the answer might be every time that Plemons would improve almost every role.
That's true.
It's almost, I think, a role that Plemons couldn't play in this movie.
Oh.
Sort of negative plemtential.
Negative plemtential.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
What about another format point called a role for Rylance?
Very nice. Again, he can play all roles, though.
Yeah. So maybe, again, is there a role that Rylance couldn't play in this?
Rylance would stink this one out. that could be a thing that occasionally happens, but it's very rare.
Okay. So let's start then. But I don't know if we should... It's going to be hard to break this film down without a sort of general... chat first, right?
Yeah, it could be that the it could definitely be that the format's points idea is terrible.
Well, no, maybe something that we conclude towards once we've had a sort of more general conversation.
Okay. So, are we starting with the Beekeeper, are we?
I think so.
Okay.
Now, I went to see the Beekeeper, and it's my first ever Statham.
Seriously?
Yeah, first ever Statham. I've never seen him before.
You've never seen a Statham?
No, I was aware of him.
Yeah.
I sort of knew what he looked like.
Uh-huh.
A bit like Henry Packer, really.
Yeah, a buff Phil Collins. Isn't it? So, yeah. Yes, he looks like, if you were on a stag do and he turned up, he'd be the guy that you don't know, that no one knows.
Not even the groom to
not
be.
Not even the groom. yeah, because he's a hide killer.
Now, the reason I've never seen a Statham film is because I sort of always assumed, I think probably wrongly, that they're all shite.
Yes, I mean, I'm trying to think actually how many Statham... I'm trying to think if have I seen any Statham films. I feel like I have. But hey, another thing about Film Corner is we're not film experts.
Oh, no.
That's quite key, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was aware of some Statham films, so maybe you can tell me if you've seen these. So my girlfriend had watched The Meg.
Yeah, The Meg is a film which I couldn't tell you for sure if I've seen it or not. Because I've seen... I mean, it's just one of those films, you know. You, it's very hard to know if you've seen it. I easily could have done. I mean, I know what happens in The Meg, but that doesn't necessarily mean I've seen it.
No, well, it's Jaws with a bigger shark, isn't it?
It's Jaws with a bigger shark, and it's a megalodon. It's some sort of prehistoric shark. Presumably, there's a bunch of experts who are in a deep sea sort of facility.
Yeah,
and they come across it, and there'll be some sort of pernicious.
My God, I never thought I'd see such a thing.
Exactly. And the things like, it's the ultimate predator. That sort of thing.
Of course, that'd be the one slightly weedy, probably British scientist, arguing that's right. That they shouldn't harm the megalodon.
Yeah.
Going,
because
no.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It doesn't want to harm us. It's been a life of 600,000. Ah!
Yeah.
And then obviously
he gets gruesomely chomped, that guy.
Yeah.
And also Jeff Goldblum will be in it.
The other one I was aware of is the film Crank. Which I was talking with my friend Nathaniel Metcalf last week, and he describes it as Speed, but Jason Statham is the bus.
It's a great elevator pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You've got to make that.
And have you seen it?
Again, I can't be sure. No, I didn't think I have seen that one. I know the concept, isn't it? That he's his heart is a ticking time bomb or something. And
he's got to keep his heart rate above a certain amount, otherwise his heart explodes.
By making love.
I think he probably does make love a number of times. Yeah. And then apparently in Crank 2, he has to keep like sort of ingesting electricity, otherwise he dies.
Okay.
So I think he's basically just sort of constantly connecting like some jump leads from a car to his bollocks and then just firing up again.
So the idea is that he is like a crank. He's like a hand crank on an old-fashioned car. Is that the idea?
I don't know why it's called Crank.
Insert me into the front of the mechanism. It's the only way. And grab onto my legs, then spin me like I'm an old-fashioned crank in an oldie-woldie car. That's up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then next is going to be bellows.
Just hold my legs apart and squish them together like an old-fashioned, like you're trying to increase the oxygen flow into an old-fashioned fireplace. Yeah. And then the ladle.
So is he, I mean, even having seen The Beekeeper,
yeah,
I'm not entirely sure what he is. Is he a martial arts expert?
In real life, do you mean?
Well, is he an actor? Like, Jackie Chan or whatever, he's mainly a martial arts guy, right? And then he's kind of in movies, but it's the main deal is martial arts. Similar, your Van Damme's, your Steven Seagal's, they sort of were doing martial arts before they became a film person.
Obviously, Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in a weird way, Arnie kind of, in that he was a bodybuilder. He wasn't an actor for,
But I don't know what the deal is with Stath.
I think Stath, in my mind, Stath was launched in, which might be wrong, he might not even be in this film. Again, we're not film experts. You've been cornered. It's Film Corner.
You've been cornered by two.
You've been cornered by two non-film expert bores, both of whom are holding a beer, and they've cornered you. Just the worst party you've ever been to. And you're wishing it was a snooker table and you could disappear down a pocket. But it's not, right?
Best of luck.
Best of luck. I believe he may have been in the film Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. And I feel like that launched him.
Oh, maybe.
Is he in it?
Is that the sort of thing you're going to Google? Are we allowed to do that?
I'm going to Google that. Lock, Stock. So, because what I'm thinking is he came to, that's true, he's in it, right? So he came to prominence.
Yeah.
The way that...
Can I just say, he competed for England in the 1990 Commonwealth Games.
What, in the bar brawl category? in what?
He's a diver.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Are you sure that's the same Jason Statham?
Yeah.
I've got nothing. I can't help you with that. Is that true?
Yeah.
How bizarre.
Then he was a model.
That would have been until the hair went. That can't have lasted long.
And then, yeah, you're right. He's in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
I think he's one of those people that coincided with a cultural movement.
Geezers.
Geezer chic. Because there was it was the period of Geezer Mageddon, wasn't it? When was that? In the mid-noughties, I think, is it? Madonna was going out with Guy Ritchie. Everyone was going out with Guy Ritchie. Everyone was dating. I was dating an East End gangster, wasn't it? Everyone. If you didn't have an East End gangster on your arm, they barely let you into a Bella Pasta, would they? Do you know what I mean?
So the beekeeper.
By the way, just quickly, before you carry on, I'm going to start eating some cheesy biscuit snacks.
Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Well,
is that a problem?
This is an audio medium.
And it's an audio medium, but it's also a human being's medium, Ben.
Yeah? Okay.
I know you still hate that idea, but you're having to work with humans here, and humans need cheese biscuits, cheese biscuit snacks. Have you eaten?
Today?
Yeah.
I've just been to Costco, which you won't know about because it's
a bulk supermarket, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not a central London thing, is it?
No, of course not.
And I went around and I had so many, they do lots of testers.
Oh, really?
Like, give out a tiny little mini bowl of chicken jalfrezi I had, a little prawn wonton, a little bit of pancake.
So you do that and you make it your dinner?
I just sort of went around it a few times, had quite a lot of that. Then I had a pizza slice that they sell there. And then I've just had a bottle of passion fruit flavoured lassi. So that kind of adds up in my head to some sort of meal.
It sort of does. So how often can you do that? Can you rinse a Costco like that? Do you have them on rotation? Can you not visit that one for 6 months now?
No, I can go back tomorrow.
You can go back tomorrow and you can just rinse all the freebies.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you make any purchases, proper purchases?
I bought some fluids that you pour on patio slabs to kill algae.
Did you need that? I mean... Or do you just calculate how much this would have cost as a meal in a high street Indian restaurant, found something slightly cheaper than that? The algae killer. I'm going to go for the algae killer again. It's $8.99. Probably that meal would have cost about $12.99 at a high street Indian. I'll go for the algae killer again. Just add it to the huge pile of algae killers I've got in my home.
Obviously I had a taster, you know, like everything else, and decided to buy 5 litres of it.
And... are you killing the algae out of spite, or? I mean,
my back garden is north facing.
Okay,
which means that it doesn't get any light, so it's like a sort of dark, concreted, sort of little glen.
Prison yard.
Prison yard, exactly. Yep. Imagine a prison yard, but very damp, never fully really dries out.
Okay, but still can't really foster life, or can it?
Well, it can foster algal life.
Well, it can foster the life that grows in the dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your cave mushrooms.
Yeah. Those little lizards who've evolved to have no eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So white-eyeballed.
Yeah.
Sort of anemic-looking
type of thing.
And all, piebald?
Everything there is piebald.
Everything's piebald. And a lot of... can we say albino or not?
Yeah, albino is just a description. It's not.
Yeah, a lot of albino creatures, isn't it? So crudely, they don't have skin pigmentation.
Yeah, yeah. But so but some of them will be piebald. So not full albino.
Yeah, and pale, hairless foxes. Isn't it?
It's hairless. Yeah. So there's and they're wet
because you don't need hair in the dark, do you? Really. You do, because hair is essentially an accoutrement, isn't it?
Well, it's something that blows in the wind, which you don't need in a cave.
You don't need in a cave, and that brings us back to another thing which doesn't have any hair: Jason Statham.
Well done.
Certainly not up top.
So, the beekeeper. Why did I decide to go and see the beekeeper? Is the question I can't answer for myself.
Well, it could be that the slightly, I think there's an element of a dog whistle for people that have buried right wing sentiments that they don't like to admit to themselves.
Okay,
but, and it may be that
take it out on algae or smaller organisms in my property.
It normally expresses itself relatively safely in terms of just just algae pogroms in your garden.
Yeah,
ruining it. Decimation of algae fields.
And I have to say, I think I'm going to say right from the top that I really enjoyed seeing this film.
Okay.
I think it's dumb.
Yeah.
But great.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's your top line?
My top line is, is this a good film? You're asking the wrong question.
Yes.
Imagine walking into your brother-in-law's front room,
right,
and a spaniel runs in.
Okay,
the spaniel jumps on top of you, right, back onto the sofa.
Right,
it's laughing.
It's laughing. It's horrifying.
It's laughing. Right, and it's laughing, and it's licking your face.
Okay.
Yeah, it's licking your face. It's laughing. It's waggling its ears.
Yeah, okay.
It's waggling its ears.
This is horrible.
And also, it is pissing itself on you.
Okay, okay.
So it's going to the toilet on you, but it's also, it's smiling, which is horrible, horrible to think about. It's laughing, it's licking your face, it's going to the toilet on you.
Yeah.
And then your brother comes in and asks you, is that...
Your brother or your brother-in-law?
Your brother's there as well.
Right, okay.
Because it's, okay. It's his wife's brother that's your brother-in-law.
That doesn't make me your brother-in-law. That's your brother's wife's brother.
So the whole in-law concept is very hard for certain people to grasp fully.
I mean, that person could be an aunt to your child, for sure.
So, because I suppose your brother's wife's brother is you potentially.
No,
you can't be your own brother.
No, it couldn't be you unless your brother was married to your sister.
Okay.
There could be some step brother situations where that could happen, or like half brother situations.
Okay, let's not worry about that. That's not the issue. The issue is this dog.
Yeah,
it's licking you. It's lovely and sweet. You're ruffling its ears. It is laughing, which is odd, and it's going to the toilet on you. But it's very sweet, and it's licking you, and it's laughing, and it's going to the toilet. Is that a good dog?
No, it's not a good dog.
Well, I would say that's the wrong question.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think the same thing goes for this film.
What is the right question, though? Both for the dog situation and the film.
Well, I suppose the question is: did you enjoy your time with the dog?
No. Did I enjoy my time with the film? Yes.
Yes. Okay, so for you,
it's a better experience than being toileted.
You don't mind a laughing dog shitting on your legs, you fucking weirdo.
Okay.
I suppose I kind of enjoyed it.
I went, basically.
Yeah, I went because you went, yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to see this.
No, so I felt a bit of responsibility.
Hmm. I think the film I think the film is a terrible film.
Okay. Yeah.
But I had a good time in the same way that, you know, the dog isn't a good dog, but I had a decent time with the dog, although I have got some regrets. Probably overall And actually, forget
the, I think the dog thing is really muddying the waters.
Let's park the dog.
The thing you've come up with, read the dog, is one of the worst experiences I can imagine.
Yeah. So forget the, yeah.
But this is a good, this is a good question then, Henry. Are there many other situations in the world where something can be bad, but also enjoyable?
I suppose eating fast food, that sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
I guess it's in that category. Yeah. You can't say it's a good, but I suppose the other question to ask is, to what extent is it in control of its badness?
Okay,
because I felt like the film almost sort of knew it was bad or wasn't interested in being good. Like, you know, it's not watching a film trying to be good that fails.
No,
it's
no, you're
a
right.
film that is somehow partaking.
It was what it was meant to be. Yeah,
although, but it was a mixed bag because there were. That's one of the things that was so strange about it was. The fact that sometimes it felt like it was being tongue-in-cheek, but sometimes it felt like it was being properly idiotic.
Are you serious? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And I couldn't... It felt very much by committee. It felt like...
Yeah.
I think a lot of ideas got mixed up.
So just to explain to the listener, what is The Beekeeper? So it is... it begins with Jason Statham looking after some bees, collecting honey from the beehives.
Yeah.
He speaks to a nice old lady who lives next door to.
Yeah. Who, within seconds, you know is... so dead because she's such a sort of nice positive force in that chat they have. She has the mark of death on her.
What's weird is she looks about the same age as Jason Statham, but he treats her like a sort of frail old lady.
That's very true.
It's very weird.
Yeah, but that's because he's so buff. He thinks that buffness or the filmmakers think that buffness changes him generationally, but it doesn't.
Yeah. No,
he's just a very, very buff.
She then says, well, later on, why don't you come down to my farm and I'll make you dinner? And he goes, yeah, okay. And then when he goes down there with a big glass of honey for her, big jar of honey.
Yeah.
She's dead by her own hand.
That's right.
Because... we have seen a sort of confidence trickster on the phone scam her out of all her money. So then he is bent on revenge.
That's right. Yeah.
He finds out where the people are operating this scam,
and it's within driving distance. There's no. I didn't think it really mentions place or anything, but
no. Who knows where they are?
She's being internet scammed.
Yeah.
He finds out about it. He drives to this building.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even in the UK, that would be inconceivable. That would be very, very unlikely. But in America, and also the fact that the scammer is in the same country is already a coincidence, but the fact that it's America.
Yeah, in real life, this person would be in Indonesia or somewhere anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And even if it was in America, there'd have to be a scene where he was on the phone to a mate going, you'll never believe this coincidence. Oh, this old lady, you know, the old lady that I really like, who's about my age. Yeah, she was getting scammed. She killed herself. And the scammers are just down the road. What a fucking chance. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's an extraordinary coincidence.
Yeah, they don't mention that at all. No.
He just turns up in the car at this big building.
Kills everyone. Blows up the building.
He does the thing which happens in these films a lot, which is he goes up to some people and tells them what he's going to do. And then does it, and that's someone started that. I can't remember who it was, but that was started in some film.
So what do you mean?
He walks up to the security guards, and they go, "What the hell are you doing? Get out of here!" And he goes, "I'm not going to do that. In fact, I'm going to punch you in the face, and then I'm going to grab your friend's crotch, rotate it 45 degrees, and I'm going to start spitting down your shirt. At which point, I'm going to knee you both in the groin." Yeah. And then, and he just describes it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to peel your face off, stick it onto his face. Yeah. Then I'm going to call your mum and get her on speakerphone and play. And he's just standing there describing what he's going to do, and then he does it.
Yes. No, you're right. That is a trope, definitely. Yeah. The other thing that struck me as a big trope is the revenge film based on. It really reminds me of, you know, have you ever seen John Wick?
Yes.
So this is very much like John Wick.
Yeah, it's John Wick.
I think that is all kicked off by someone killing his dog, I think.
Oh, yes.
And then he just decides, like, the gloves are off and he's going to kill upwards of 250 people.
That's right. It's very much like that. And also, John Wick has another thing which is similar to this film, which is the baddie. I seem to remember it. is, you know, like the baddie in this film?
Yes.
Is a certain type. And it's a sort of young...
kind of yuppie?
Yuppie. I guess it's he's inherited a lot of money, a sort of spoilt, young, yes, yuppie-ish, just a huge tosser.
Yeah. They've worked out the biggest tosser in the world, yeah, and it's that guy.
And it's that guy who's been spoilt by his parents and is really entitled. But one of the elements of this film, one of the many weird elements of it, is the people who are running this call center that are scamming.
Yeah.
A, they're like within half an hour's drive of this guy's beekeeping farm or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is fucking weird. I mean, it's unacceptable how weird that is. B, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The people running this scam, so in real life, internet scams and bank fraud scams, I imagine, as you say, they're probably all over the world.
Yeah.
I imagine they're generally in, like, probably quite poor areas. The people working in them, I imagine, are fairly miserable people that would probably rather be doing something else, I imagine. Do you know what I mean?
I imagine a big part of it is that they're outside of the jurisdiction of the country in which they're scamming people, right? So it just makes it kind of impossible for anything to happen.
Yeah. But what this film has done is turn these people into, they're all like these young, like groovy, good-looking,
yes,
yuppie, like,
why
like
are they doing this?
Gen Z, cool, yeah, like smoothie drinking, like like who the fuck are these people? Like what? What, who are, like, the film has decided that we don't like a certain kind of person, yeah, which is like you go down to the coffee shop and there's like a Gen Z person ordering a smoothie and it freaks you out. They think that this is pissing us off or pissing someone off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These people. Yeah. So let's just make them, let's just transport that type of person into the role of baddie.
Yes.
But you've got this crazy situation where all these people, they would be working in Google. Maybe that's what they're trying to say. Maybe because it's got a kind of Google feel or something, has it, that office?
Yeah, so I think that's what they're trying to get at, is they're trying to be like big tech is the problem.
Big tech.
And this guy has like turned big tech against, like he's using his powers for evil, right? So he should be, because I think they allude to the fact that the technology was actually developed for another reason.
Oh, really?
And he's using it to generate money.
Okay. But these people are all like,
yeah, what they wouldn't be worth, as you say, the people who tend to end up doing kind of criminality on that level, which is if you're a bit part in that machine,
yeah,
if you're the people who are forced to out of sort of desperation,
exactly, yeah,
or just because of their miserable circumstances, yeah,
horrible situation,
yeah, not there, yeah, like sort of college educated, quite
exactly,
good looking young people,
yeah,
totally, yeah.
So that's quite, yeah, that's quite odd. And then the guy leading the floor is just this just so over the top evil,
yeah,
guy who kind of runs the scam from the center of the floor on a kind of Bluetooth speak thing. Let's rip off some old ladies, basically. He's saying that kind of thing. Ka-ching, 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 let's do this.
What I really liked about his dialogue and also the dialogue of his boss, who's kind of the same character,
yeah,
is that they want to make it seem like they're into tech and stuff. But the as you say, the script is so kind of committeeized and like basically they just use very generic dialogue about NFTs and they just sort of name drop things that people are vaguely aware of as being tech.
That's right. There's NFT references.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And crypto and things like that. But without anything that's like specific. So you've got no idea what they're actually talking about. But it's like, hey, I'll drop you some crypto for the NFTs. Great. Yeah. And you're like, what?
I mean, basically the film, when you think about it, the film is made by middle-aged, late middle-aged people who feel alienated by the world. They don't understand crypto.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't understand Bitcoin.
What they do understand is honey.
They do understand honey because a lot of, and presumably someone in the process does make honey, presumably, or and gives it to their great-grandchildren, whatever. And I think that's what's going on. I think this film is a sort of scream. It's a kind of middle-aged scream of like, what the fuck is going on? I don't understand. Why can't it be simple, like making honey and kicking the shit out of people after you've told them exactly how you're going to kick the shit out of them?
Now, the next thing I'm going to bring up is Statham's accent.
Yeah.
Now, it took me a while to realise that he was trying to do an American accent. And then there's a line in the film which I think is absolutely amazing.
I've written this down to talk about, but go on.
The other main character in the film is a policewoman who is investigating all this, and it turns out that her mother was the old lady who got scammed in the first place.
Yeah. To describe her character as paper thin...
There's a disservice to paper.
It really does a disservice to paper.
Gossamer.
Massively. Gossamer. She's a very weird character as well. Because she's the daughter. So the mother tragically kills herself.
Yeah.
Within minutes of discovering that she's been scammed by a company that exists within minutes of her own home.
By car.
By car. The daughter, as it turns out, is a cop.
Yeah.
Quite handy.
And is assigned to the case, or is kind of turns up at the house.
Becomes assigned to the case. It feels like they've hodgepodged a bunch of films together into some sort of machine. Her character, her personality in the film is the kind of quirky, wisecracking,
Yes.
But that doesn't suit the character who's driven to avenge the death of her mother. That doesn't fit. That's the wrong character type.
Yes.
Because she's got this really, non-serious attitude to the case. She's just, wisecracking and joking and kind of, it's really quirky and kind of doesn't really care and is...
Yes, you do forget quite quickly that her mother is...
Yeah, but she's on a revenge mission, really. The story is saying that she's on a revenge mission, but she's behaving like she's just this quirky person who doesn't care. Again, because I think they've sourced her from another film. And they've kind of just collaged it. Anyway.
She's got an amazing line. So Statham starts talking to her and she goes, do I detect some British Isles in that accent? And the only reason that's in the script is to excuse what you're hearing because he's really struggling with the accent.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah.
And you just extraordinary think moment. About the logistics of putting that line in the script and getting it and telling Statham that's going in the script.
Yeah. Well, did they tell Statham?
Good point.
Because if you rewind that scene, she's actually talking to a big pile of gammon hams shoved into a shirt. So you don't notice.
Yes.
They could have put it in later. Okay. So just to make sure this is totally clear for the listeners. Statham is giving a dodgy American accent, which from the start is weird because I think why are they making him American? What's the point?
Yeah, why not just let him be British?
He's got a terrible.
Yeah, it becomes obvious why that is, though, doesn't it?
What's that?
It becomes obvious why he can't be British because he is the beekeeper who is this kind of person who's employed by the American government.
Oh, I know, but come on, but don't. The level of world building is, I've seen more impressive world building by the last time I saw a badger shit on some Lego. Yeah. The world building is so paper thin.
Yeah,
to use that again.
Yes, he could have been British for sure.
On the beekeeper. I mean, when there are plot holes this big in a film, they can get around the nationality of would he really be strictly be eligible for a beekeeper role? But you might be right. Maybe that was their thinking. It certainly wasn't necessary. But he's got this terrible American accent, which is very jarring because Statham is the Statham. I mean,
yeah, he's King Geezer.
He's King Geezer. So he's got this American accent, which is really bad. And then, quite fairly early on, there's a scene where the policewoman character says to him, "Is there some British Isles in your accent?" And I was like, I couldn't believe it when I was seeing it. I was like, have they put that in? Because his accent is so shit. And then...
Also, British Isles is such a weird choice. Like,
are they saying he hasn't even got a... Is his British accent even... They want to keep that vague.
What?
Even...
Do I detect some British Isles? Just in case he's from where? Guernsey? Or or is it the Republic of Ireland that's part of the British... I can't remember what that counts as.
I think if she said, do I detect a bit of Cockney in your accent? She's basically literally saying to him, Jason Statham, you are a shit actor. Oh, so you know what I mean? If she says, do I detect a bit of Cockney geezer in that? So I think by saying British Isles, it could almost mean that he's not, it allows the space for, he's not Jason Statham from the East End who cannot disguise his East End accent. He's playing, he might be playing someone, as you say, from Guernsey or Cornwall or whatever.
Yeah.
Because that's in the character. But so as soon as that line happened, I made a mental note to look out for any other reference to that in the film, and there isn't one.
Yeah,
so
and thought, a reason why that would need to be said apart exactly. from just to go, sorry, guys, we know that this is, he's not doing very well. And that must have gone in after the script was written, right? That's gone in on day five of filming where they've gone, oh, God, his accent's so shit.
His accent is absolute.
Can you just quickly put a line in?
I detect some British Isles in your accent. It's never referred to ever again that he's from the British Isles. There is no significance to him being from the British Isles. It is literally there to account for his shite accent.
Another bad accent, actually, in the film. So later on, we meet Jeremy Irons, who I was kind of surprised to see in this film, because I think of him as being quite high-end or quite sort of...
Yes.
Like he's a bit of a get, isn't he?
Yeah, although he dabbles in sort of shite villain roles, like most great British actors do.
But that's why...
Villains in absolute
In absolute as soon as he turned up, I was thinking, this is an extension. This is a new kitchen role.
Put it this way. I think he walked away with more dignity from the previous role I'd seen him in, which was taking a piss in taking a piss in a car park in Hampstead Heath.
But which was more convincing?
He believed in that. I believed in every
drop.
Every drop of that piss. Have I exposed that on the podcast before?
Because it was a secret for a while. So his accent, I think, is actually quite bad. So he is playing a former head of the CIA who's now the head of personal security for the villain.
I thought he was the villain's dad for ages.
Yeah, me too. It was quite confusing.
Yeah, it was really confusing. He was his role was so weirdly irrelevant in the film. There was no real reason for him to be there other than to be Jeremy Irons.
But he's meant to be American, right? Because he's former head of the CIA.
Yeah, he's got a really bad American accent.
But it's just Jeremy Irons with the occasional weird tinge of American.
Do you think they had the thought, can we have another scene where someone says,
I detect her.
Jason Statham could have said to him, hang on a minute, snap, you got some British Isles in your accent as well, mate, ain't ya?
Do I detect some British Isles?
Yes, British. I do. Yes, you're right. I'm also from the British Isles.
Do I detect some British Isles? It's a very weird way to...
Anyway, so then the film ramps up. It just becomes incredibly violent. It's basically him just killing everyone he sees.
It's a series of set pieces where he goes into situations that are more and more heavily guarded. And every time he does his thing, he walks straight up to... There's a bit where he invades... He has to get into an office that's guarded by the army.
That's right.
This time, they've ramped it up. He walks into this group of army guys... Just walk straight up to them. That's the sort of thing in this film. He just walks up and goes, hi, guys. I'm going to stick my finger up your nose while repeatedly punching this guy in the shins. And he just goes up to them and tells them what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take your ears off. I'm going to stick him up his nose so you'll be hearing what he smells. Wait, you're trying to get your head around that. I'm going to pummel the shit out.
Yeah. And while you try and get your head around that, I'm going to put your head up his ass.
Yeah, so you'll be seeing what he had for dinner, which was my fist. So all that sort of thing. And he walks, it's so funny because he walks up to this group and you think to yourself, to choreograph this fight, they have to just come up with a situation where no one just, I mean, I suppose this isn't advanced analysis, but no one just shoots him. I mean, just shoot him. Come on.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of queuing up to do it one by one, please. Rather than just someone shoots him, please. And the first thing he does to kick off that fight is quite funny. He goes right up to the colonel guy who's been giving him the orders. And he talks to this guy straight on. The guy, instead of the guy just shooting him, the guy says to him, can someone please put this guy in cuffs, and points his finger at him. And Statham just grabs his finger and goes, and crunches it. And then starts beating them all up. Yeah, then...
So
there's a series of
this
moments
is a genre,
like
right? Which is it's the same as John Wick, which is a character, and it's very much the same as the what are those Jack Reacher films that were based on the novels where Tom Cruise is this character?
Yeah, Jack Reacher. Yeah.
Basically, the key to these films is that the person cannot ever be harmed. They're like totally Teflon to violence. They will always win.
That's
in
right.
In any confrontation.
Yes.
And it could be against 100 people. It could be against a tank, whatever. They will always win.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't... There's something weirdly compelling about watching that and knowing they're not... Do you know what I mean? It's like, you just know there's 60 people there. You know they're all going to end up getting hurt. Do you know what I mean? There's something about it that is quite fun.
No, it is fun. I suppose is it dog whistling the inner right wing person in everyone? is it dog whistling the bit of people, especially they become middle aged, that thinks, oh God, I wish I could just fucking punch the shit out of all these smoothie drinking fucks.
Well, yeah,
I wish I could take on everyone. One thing I notice is I think the film is designed to have these moments that create like whoops in the audience.
Right.
Did you have whooping where you were?
No.
I had quite a lot of whooping in my viewing. So there are moments where he says certain lines which are sort of delivered for the audience to go, yes! So you get people going, yeah! And then as he says what he's going to do and then starts, you know,
and maybe sits in a kind of beekeeping pun as well.
Well, that's another thing to discuss. There's a lot of beekeeping puns.
I've got to protect the hive.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
There's a lot of that. And it's very... I felt that the script had had a certain amount of bee passes done on it. Because
we need more bee references. Send it to the bee guy.
Who is that?
I think it's pretty obvious to all of us that it is Sir Tom Stoppard.
Yeah.
So it's had the script has had B, but they've gone, there's not enough B references, let's give it another B. Because there's just intermittently B references pop up in a really incoherent and unsatisfying way, I'm going to say.
Yeah, and not quite good enough.
They're not good enough.
No.
There's a lot of like, it's sort of semi-scientific. There'll be things like, yeah, but it'll be used to justify things sometimes, like courses of action. So Jason Statham will say things like,
yeah, but the fact is sometimes the bees have to kill the queen if there's been an infection.
Drones will have to take on the hornets. So when he brought in hornets, I was like, no, this has gone too far. Like,
yeah. Because it's really hard to follow who's the bees. Jason, hang on, are we the bees? Are you the... Because I think it changes. Like, who the bees are changes, and whether the bees are... So what they represent isn't clear.
Yeah,
but there comes a point. So basically, he makes bees, and he doesn't make bees. He's a beekeeper, but he. By the way, the first time we see him, he's looking after bees, so he's literally a beekeeper. So that's the thing. There's this weird thing with the beekeepers where there's kind of literal beekeeping, there's metaphorical beekeeping,
which is that he's looking after America, which is the hive.
Yeah, but also, there's a secret organization that is literally called the Beekeepers.
Yes.
Who are there to look after society.
Yeah.
So initially we just think he's a beekeeper, except he's Jason Statham. And also he's wearing a kind of sexy beekeeper costume. I'd love to see the brief they gave to the costume designer, which is, we want beekeeper. We want it sexy. Sexy beekeeper.
Yeah.
He's got this kind of really like figure hugging sort of buff enhancing, like, sexy beekeeper outfit. So he makes honey. It's not really clear why, but then we learn that he was part of a secret organization called the Beekeepers, who were there to guard democracy or guard America.
Yeah, they're kind of secret. Not even the CIA know about them. Only the president and...
Even the CIA know about them, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. It's never explained if it's just a coincidence that he is actually a beekeeper because he's retired.
Or like, are you forced to when you leave the beekeepers?
You have to
keep bees? Is your retirement gift a hive? And you go, oh, for fuck's sake, this is on the nose.
Oh, come on, guys. Try a little harder.
Well, no, because there is a bit where they show that when he decides to, like, so he's retired from being one of these part of the secret society of beekeepers that go out and kill people, right?
Yeah.
So he's retired. But there is a moment where he decides, like, no, I'm going to go back into the world of being a badass. And he pulls a bit out of the hive, and there's like a gun inside the hive and some money.
Yeah.
So the hives do, you know.
Yeah, but you can hide a fucking gun or some money in anything, but it doesn't have to be a beehive.
But it needs to feel more metaphorical than that, Henry.
No, but that's the thing. I think it's just like, what? Why is he actually a bee? Is it because he was exposed to so much beekeeping metaphors when he was working as a beekeeper? I just think that is a huge weird
yeah
no plot hole, isn't it? Like, why is he actually a beekeeper?
I think the film thinks it's quite clever as well in thinking of this whole bee metaphor for the world and everything that's going on.
Yeah,
but it's dumb as anything.
It's dumb as fuck. And also, what's the honey? We never metaphorically like. What's the honey?
Isn't it the money that they're scamming out of old ladies?
What, so they're bees? Like, who the fuck are the bees? That's the thing, the bees keep changing. So the baddies, the bees.
This gives away the end, really, so do look away now if you do intend to watch this. It turns out that the ultimate baddie is kind of the president of the United States, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Or her son is doing bad stuff to help her.
Yeah, but yeah, no, she does it. Everything leads, we end up at the
So she's the queen that needs...
She's the queen that sometimes needs to... But she doesn't... But in the end, she decides to... collude in the bringing down of her own son.
Yeah.
She's actually, so that doesn't fit with the beam. The other thing that's funny about the beekeepers is, so it's referred to as a secret organization that secretly keeps America safe, okay? So we're thinking Men in Black.
Yeah.
There's lots of films with this kind of thing. You know, you're expecting an exciting scene where you get an elevator, you know, through a secret door at the back of a shop that leads to an elevator that takes you down into an underground complex. Lots of glass doors and people walking around with clipboards, some alien technology being worked on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, interesting, cool shit. Maps of the world which glow. Those maps which are just in the air that you can put your hands through. All that shit, yeah?
Yeah.
No, nothing. The only thing we see to give the only bit of world building or exploration we get of the beekeepers is one other beekeeper we meet who is a completely fucking mad woman who pops up. Wearing a bright purple sort of shiny, like, Mac.
Yeah, like a sort of trench coat, yeah.
Trench coat. So these are the elites, right? The creme de la creme who are looking after American society. Not even the CIA know about them. The only other one we meet who comes to terminate him is a completely batshit sort of like 80s cyberpunk woman who's completely, absolutely fucking batshit.
Sort of Mad Max person, yeah.
Mad Max kind of woman.
Yeah.
Who...
with like a sort of Gatling gun style machine gun.
Yeah, well, the way these are supposed to be like the best of the best. So rather than just like taking a, you know, like a gun with a sight on it and just executing him from...
Mike from Breaking Bad style, or kind of, you know, if they got Mike from Better Call Saul in. That's who the real elite person would be, right?
So yeah.
Kind of elite.
Exactly.
Sniper.
Somebody who knows what they're doing. Just do the job, get it done. Instead, she accosts him in a petrol station and pulls out a Gatling gun on the back of her car.
And just kills everyone there.
Kills everyone. Blows up everything. That's the only... And then... That's
no,
the
Henry,
only
you're actually wrong,
other
though.
Reference to the beekeepers we ever get.
The only other reference is we do see footage of their little dank little office.
With Jeremy Irons talking to them.
No, someone's just like on a computer because he rings them up and goes, I need the address of the...
you're right. We see a person, like an admin person.
Yeah, but it's very...
Yeah.
It's not very exciting.
The beekeepers. We keep the bees of American society. So that means society is bees.
Yeah.
And the beekeeper looks after the bees and takes their honey and sells it.
We'll sometimes make beeswax candles, which they can sell. On Etsy.
Yeah. another thing, I've just remembered, another thing which happens is at one point they kill all his bees.
They do kill his bees.
He never really notices or responds to that.
Well, no, because he never goes back there, I don't think.
He never goes back.
Because they're at his house and they fire, you're right, they fire a shotgun into all of his beehives and they all smash up. But then I don't think we ever see him go back there.
It's kind of, again, it's a bit like John Wick. They've got the idea of killing the dog or doing something, which means there's no turning back now, but he never really notices or...
No, that's such a
never
point.
Really.
I mean, it feels to me like a film that has been edited quite a lot. Quite.
Do you want
savagely.
A longer beekeeper? Is that what you want?
I think somewhere there will be a director's cut because that. So there's a moment where they decide the only person that can stop Jason Statham is this other beekeeper, right? Who's this?
Yeah, yeah.
The woman with the purple jacket and the Gatling gun. And she appears and is killed within about 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's so. Well, you're right. There must be some backstory.
There must be some other
her,
bits where she's
so
it.
Mad the way she suddenly. Yeah. Also, maybe there's an entire sequence where he's like, "Yeah, I am from the British Isles. You should visit me there sometime." And it's like
flashback to his life in Cornwall.
Working for Rick Stein.
Yeah. Can you dress those crabs, please, Stath?
Yeah, I will, thanks. Because society is a bit like crabs. We are the crab dressers, aren't we? We've always worked here secretly for number 10.
We are the hard carapace around the soft belly of this country.
Yeah.
It did feel to me that the pace was weird, and there were bits that felt weird, and there were bits where you're like, I think we've missed something here. So I reckon it used to be long when it was written and
yeah.
Made. I mean, that happens to all films to an extent, but it felt sort of like it had seen with a pair of blunt scissors.
Yeah, yeah.
And then basically we get to the end. The end felt like a huge anticlimax, but I can't really remember quite how. But
well, there's a bit where the baddie, who's the son of the president, it turns out, who's this kind of like, he's just the archetypical like horror, like bad son. It's almost goes back to The Godfather, doesn't it? The son in, you know, Freddy. Is it Freddo?
I think it is appropriate to make a link to the best film of all time, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been crying out for that.
He's a spoiled privilege.
Just the spoiled sort of awful son who's very pathetic and evil. Also, he doesn't have to be doing... Oh, yes, we learn that the money he's been making from the scam...
Is to fund his mother's election campaign.
Is to fund his mother's presidential election campaign.
And she didn't know about it, maybe.
Which she didn't know about.
Yeah.
So he shoots the head of the CIA, I think, doesn't he?
I think so. Can't remember.
And then there's just some more shooting. Does he die? I can't even remember.
Well, the whole thing is, he takes his mum as a human shield, which seems like a real, you know...
Real dick move.
A real dick move.
Yeah.
And you think, oh no, what's going to happen now? And then just because Jason Statham's so good at shooting, he just... There's no trouble in just shooting him and not shooting the mum.
Well, unfortunately, that is how I'd say 95% of action films have to end. I'm not entirely sure why, but it's something to do with the way the stories work. You have to end with your villain holding someone hostage.
Yeah.
And then and the story ends when the hero is so good at shooting that he shoots the person. And that's it. It just always boils down to really good at shooting.
Yeah. But he just shoots him. It does feel anticlimactic, doesn't it?
Yeah, you never get them accidentally shooting the hostage's head off. I'd like to see that.
Oh, fuck.
The other elephant in the room in this film is, yeah, they say I'm like a bee, except that when I kill someone, my arse doesn't fall off.
I don't die.
In a fatal manner for me. Very, very important. I'm very similar to bees in a lot of ways, but very much when I kill someone, my ass doesn't fall off, killing me. It's going to be a very, very short film, isn't it? That's the one thing about bees
you can't bring up. So, that's the film. Yay say or nay say.
We can say yay or nay.
I'm giving it a yay.
Should you watch it?
Yes.
I'm going to say that's the wrong question to ask.
And the right question to ask is, if you go into your brother-in-law's house and there's a dog... that can laugh like a human and that jumps on you and waggles its ears and then shits on you.
Is it a good dog?
Yeah.
Very hard question. I'd say it's the wrong question. Okay. I go back to that for this film. It's not about... how do you give it stars or something? I don't know.
Yeah. I think if you like that sort of film, then you're going to love it. And it turns out I do quite like that sort of film.
Yeah. But what do you mean by that sort of film?
Well, just one in which... a single man kills or very seriously injures about 300 people.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
In a variety of ways.
Yeah. If you're into that, you'll love it.
So, format points.
I feel like we've covered everything.
Well, let's do a sort of one-liner for each one.
Okay. So, script. Hot turds.
Hot turds on one of those like sizzling plates you get in a Chinese or an Indian restaurant when they bring out, it's still sizzling.
Yeah, it's your birthday and someone's put in front of you a hot sizzling plate of turds.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the script.
Yeah.
What other format points are there?
They're your format points.
Acting.
The accents are terrible.
Put it this way. it's hard to win crafts if you're a prize poodle, but you're covered in steaming, sizzling hot turds. Do you know what I mean? Because they're having to work with that script, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't think anyone could really. Yeah.
I think this is a film first. A film where the script has to have a line added to account for the actor's accent. It is all you need to know about the acting.
Okay. Next plot point. Next.
Music. Can't remember.
I don't remember the music.
I don't think it's just the sound of gunfire, isn't it? It's just the sound of magazines hitting the ground. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just generic action stuff. Oh, Plemons,
right. I would like to see a version of this movie in which Plemons plays the old lady who gets scammed and then...
I also like to see, little shout out for, I'd like to see Plemons playing the mad beekeeper woman with the purple duffel coat and the...
and Gatling gun.
And the Gatling gun.
Yeah. I think he could...
Because it's very challenging to make that believable within one scene. But with his stoicism attached,
I would also like to see Plemons playing Jeremy Irons playing that character.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
So it's not just replacing Jeremy Irons. No. He's doing his Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
He's giving us his Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Doing that character.
But in the film, we're in a separate film that's about Jeremy Irons being in this film.
Oh, a sort of biopic.
Yeah.
A biopic of Jeremy Irons that mainly focuses on,
just focuses on the 4 days he spent filming, working on this film.
that he probably can't remember at this point.
Yeah.
So is that all our format points done?
Well, is it a yay or is it a nay? Maybe if it's a yay, that trumps a nay, so it is a yay. I don't fucking know.
For me, it's a yay. And for you, yeah. I think it's more of an A than a yay.
So which means that together it's a...
nay.
Okay, nice.